You'll notice in my prayer I didn't pray for the Oilers. Not maybe in the finals. We'll see. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Well, today we're excited to continue on in our series called In Christ. As half the building leaves, that's awesome. In Christ. And really, my hope with this series is that we realize that being a Christian has a lot more to do than, oh, a couple of years ago I said a prayer, I accepted Jesus, or like, you know, a couple of years ago I was baptized, something like that. It's being a Christian is more than just, I'm going to try to be a good person, and hopefully one day I'm in heaven. There's so much more to being a Christian. And this moreness, it really is a relationship with God himself. And it's such a deep and intimate relationship that this is the phrase that's used throughout the Old Testament by multiple authors, is that we are in Christ. Literally, in many ways, like we are participants in the very life of Jesus. That being a Christian, it doesn't just mean one day we're going to get to experience God's presence. But right here, today, we are in Christ. There's actually something to it in the here and now, and that's really important. So I'm going to read for us today 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And it says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come." The word of the Lord. So here again, we find another in Christ saying that we're going to be digging into today. And first, we'll just kind of pull apart this verse a little bit. What is it teaching us? And then we're going to really dive into this idea. What does he mean by new creation? What is that? And Joe kind of alluded to this picture already in our service. So I think the first interesting word here in this verse is anyone. Anyone. And I think that that's an interesting and an important word because it's leveling. He really levels it out. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Paul, who is writing this, he isn't saying me and my apostle friends were new creations. He isn't saying that pastors or elders or, you know, like really good Christians are new creation. He says anyone in Christ is a new creation. So maybe you're here today and you're like, yeah, I follow Jesus, or like, yeah, I was baptized, but I don't know if I'm that good of a Christian. Well, Paul here is saying anyone in Christ is a new creation. So if you are in Christ, if you follow Jesus, you're a new creation. And it's really leveling, and it's also, I think, showing us that maybe we have this idea that one day if I'm a better person or a better Christian, then I'll be a new creation. That's not what Paul is saying, is it? He says, if you are in Christ, you're a new creation, and you're a new creation now. It's not just one day you're going to get better, because it's not about us getting better. It's about Jesus. Because we are in Christ, he makes us new. So we're going to dig into this newness. But first, I just wanted to focus on that anyone, if you follow Jesus, you are in Christ, you have that relationship, you're a new creation. And then towards the end of the verse, he talks about that the old has passed away and the new has come. Our old life, our old selves are gone, right? And we talk about this as Christians, that we're in union with Jesus, and we're even in union with him in his crucifixion. As he dies, we die with him to our old selves. The book of Colossians, it describes it, kind of gives us a picture. It says you take off your old self. It's almost like an old sweater. You take it off and you put on the new. You are completely new because you have died to the old. So your old life that is corrupted by sin and by death and by darkness, you have died to that old self. You die to that sinful life, and you enter in union with Jesus into his resurrection life. So we die to our old self. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he says, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. And that's such a dramatic sentence, but it's true in a lot of ways that when Jesus, he looks at you and he says, follow me, we have to get up. We have to get up out of our old life. We have to die to our old self as we follow him in his new life. And as we are a new creation in Christ, that new creation, it starts the moment you follow Jesus. And at that moment, you are a new creation. And yet, the tense of the Greek words in this passage show us that it's done when you follow Jesus, but it's also an ongoing endeavor. That the moment you follow Jesus, you are a new creation, and yet you continue to become a new creation as you look more and more like Jesus through the years of your life. And I kind of skipped over the middle part of this where it says he is a new creation, because I wanted to keep that till now, because it's actually really interesting. So if you go to the original language that this is written in the Greek, it's a little bit different. And I think the translators, they did a great job, but it's a little bit different, and it literally reads like this. If anyone is in Christ, new creation. So that he is a, that's actually not there at all. They added that to make it make sense to us, but it's actually not there. It just says, if anyone is in Christ, new creation. And that's very abrupt and sudden and strange. It's not laid out perfectly. Some commentators say maybe it should be translated, if anyone is in Christ, there is new creation, or there is a new creation. But it's a very sudden sentence. It's not laid out in this like perfect way that makes sense to us. But I think that that suddenness that Paul writes with is actually intentional. I think he's doing this on purpose. And I think, because when we read this, it sounds like I personally have been, you know, renovated in my own heart. But I think Paul is saying something slightly different. I think really what Paul is saying is he's saying when you are in Christ, when you follow Jesus, new creation. Literally how he writes, he's like, there it is. The new redeemed creation of God is here. The new redeemed creation of God is even localized in you and through you. So here, I'm not sure Paul is just talking about you become a better person, but it really is sudden. The moment you are in Christ, it's like something strange happens, something changes, and it is sudden, and it just causes him really to exclaim, new creation. He looks at you, and that is what he says when you follow Jesus. When you are in Christ, there it is. There it is. It's sudden, the new creation of God. And it's localized in you and through you. One commentator talking about this verse, he says this, we already share here and now in the new creation that is present in him. Right, so new creation, we're going to get more into what this means, but it's something we look forward to in the future, right? When God makes all things new, when Jesus comes back. But what is really happening here is it's suggesting that we aren't just looking forward to this redeemed creation, but we're sharing in it here and now. And we share in it here and now because it is found in Jesus. Another commentator, he says this, Paul is talking about a new act of creation, not an individual's renovation. Right, because we read this verse and often we think, when I follow Jesus, I'm going to be personally renovated. I'm going to be a better person. And that's certainly a part of our journey, but I think it's much more than that. Really, the point here is not just that you personally are trying harder, you personally are becoming a better and a more holy person, though that is part of it, but I think Paul is talking about something even bigger happening. The point is that when you are in Jesus, you are a new creation. You are made completely new, and not just you, but literally the new redeemed creation of God is made present in you. His kingdom is becoming localized in and through you as you live in our world. God's kingdom is breaking into our current world, our current reality. And when you are in Christ, you're a participant of this. Literally, when you are in Christ, everything changes. You are suddenly a part of this new redeemed creation where Jesus is making all things new. And so really, as we're looking at this verse, it doesn't just mean that you become a better person or a cooler person, though those are probably both true. But when you are in Christ, God truly creates and redeems something new. So we're talking about this new creation. I'm going to get into some imagery of what this means. But to start off, this idea, what is this new creation? What is this redeemed creation we look forward to? I think it's helpful to start with our current world. Look around at our world. It's pretty broken, right? Our current world, it's pretty messy. It's not perfect. Romans 8, I like how Paul describes it there. He says, all of creation is groaning for redemption. Like all of creation just cannot wait to be redeemed. And I think that we can probably relate to that idea. It's not easy living in our broken world, is it? We can all reflect on times in our life where we feel that brokenness very heavily. Maybe even right now, you feel that brokenness. It doesn't take much convincing to realize that we need redemption. It doesn't take much convincing to realize that things need to be made new. And this is a major theme throughout the Bible. So what is this new creation? Is it heaven? Is it some like apocalyptic thing? What is this new creation? Well, this new creation, as the Bible describes it, is what Jesus is going to bring when he returns. So the book of Revelation at the end, it really describes heaven and earth being married together as one. Heaven and earth, God's space crashing into our space, and as that happens, it makes all things new. And really, the picture described throughout the whole scriptures is that it's going to be like a new Garden of Eden, where God is fully present with his people. Sometimes it's described as a new Jerusalem. Jerusalem because that's where the temple was. That's where God's presence was. And it's going to be this place, as the scriptures tell us, where there is no more pain, there is no more tears, there is no more death, where all things are renewed, all things are made new. It tells us that we don't even need the sun because God himself is the light. And it paints us these beautiful pictures. Revelation, it paints this beautiful picture at the end. And it says even the tree of life is going to be there. So there's a lot of imagery throughout the Bible. What is new creation? What does it mean that we and all things are going to be redeemed and made new? And there's one image in the Bible that I love and that we usually don't talk about that much because it's a book in the Old Testament that maybe we don't use too often. But in the book of Ezekiel, he paints us an amazing picture of this new creation. But to get into that, I want to give you some context. So last July, about a year ago, I was in Israel. And it was a great trip. Once it's safe, you can pilgrimage to there. But Israel, it's a really interesting country. And what we did is we came in from the coast. And when you drive from the coast to Jerusalem, Jerusalem's in like the middle of the country, it's beautiful. It's really lush. There is like plants and trees and animals, and it is full of life. And it's kind of surprising because it's like the desert, basically, right? But it's because they put in so much work to turn it into a beautiful place. They I've heard it was like an extensive project to make plants grow in Israel. And as you're making that drive, you see that it is so beautiful. It's full of life. It's full of plants. And we spent most of our day in Jerusalem, and then we made the trek further east to the other side of the country towards the Dead Sea and the Jordan River. And when you leave Jerusalem and you go east, it is a complete desert. I don't know, have you guys ever been like in just a desert in like, I don't know, like Northern Africa or the Middle East? It's actually surreal. It's such a strange place to be in. And we drove probably like 2 hours and you don't see any life. Like, it's actually, it's insane. All you see is sand, and there's sand dunes. And we saw one camel with some dude. It was awesome. And you just see sand, and it is so hot, and it is so dry. There are no plants. There is no life. It is completely desolate. It's unbelievable to drive through. So we're driving to the Dead Sea, because I wanted to float in it. And we get to the Dead Sea. This is a true story, I swear. And we're in a van. I look up at, like, the thermostat. How hot is it outside? Plus 51 degrees Celsius. Yeah, it's gross. 51. So we arrive at the Dead Sea. I look, I see that. The sun's beating down in the afternoon heat. And I'm like, oh, no, this is not good. So we get out of the van, and you kind of have to travel down this hill to get to the Dead Sea. And again, it's just desert. You're just trekking down sand. It's unbelievable. You get to the Dead Sea, and you understand why it gets its name. There is no life. It's unbelievable to be there. It's surreal. There's no life. When you go into the Dead Sea, it's so full of minerals and salts that it stings your skin. It's just this surreal experience. And even walking down that hill was like, I thought I was going to die. It was so hot. It was unbelievable. Walking back up that hill after floating in the Dead Sea was even worse. I was so sick the next day. That heat is like nothing I've ever felt before. And again, we had to drive back in this complete dead wasteland of a desert. There is no life. There is nothing there. So I hope I painted this picture of what this desert is, because this is a desert that Ezekiel talks about. So Ezekiel, the last 9 chapters of his book are really all about what this redeemed new creation is going to look like. And in Ezekiel chapter 47, he talks about this desert. And he says this. He says that in Jerusalem, there's going to be a new temple. In Revelation, it picks up this theme. It calls it the throne of God. Really just where God is present. And out of this temple, there starts trickling water. And that water, it's called water of life, and it represents God's presence. It represents his presence. And first it's just trickling, and then it's up to his ankles, and his knees, and his waist. And this water, God's presence, is flowing through that desert that I was in about a year ago. And it says that everywhere the water touches, there is life. You could look this up, the beginning of Ezekiel 47. You can read it later. Everywhere the water touches, there is life. And he's watching this water go through that desolate desert, and he sees all of a sudden plants are sprouting up. Trees are starting to grow. Wildlife is starting to flourish. And it's this beautiful picture that the life-giving presence of God is turning this desolate place into a place full of life. He is making it new. Eventually, this desert, it turns into this beautiful garden, basically. And eventually, it hits the Dead Sea. Right, that sea that you go in and it's like stinging your skin because it's so full of salt. And it says that this river of life even touches the Dead Sea and it makes it fresh. Literally in the Hebrew, it heals the Dead Sea. It heals the Dead Sea, and all of a sudden, even the Dead Sea, that it hurts to float in like for 2 minutes, you know? But it says even that sea will be full of life. And Ezekiel is just painting this beautiful picture that wherever the presence of God goes, there is life. There is life. He makes all things new. And this place, Ezekiel tells us, is called the Lord is there. The Lord is there. And really, new creation, it's all about that God is fully present with us. He is completely present with us. His space has crashed into our space, and it makes things new. And it brings life where there is only death. This is the renewed creation where God makes all things new, where this creation is permeated and animated by God's life and by his love. And you see, really what Ezekiel is painting the picture here for us is that even in the most desolate and hopeless and dead places, God will make it new and he will give it life. God will make all things new. And I think that's such beautiful imagery for us. What is this new creation where God will make all things new and he will bring life where there is only death? It's a beautiful imagery. And we can think about what are the values of this creation? Really, what are the values of this kingdom of God where Jesus is king over all things? Because this kingdom of God, it has values, doesn't it? Values that Jesus beautifully lays out for us. A community that loves God and loves our neighbor. A community where the greatest, most amazing thing you could do is sacrificially love those that need it. A community where all people are valued. This is very different from the world, right? The world, maybe we're like, my group or my tribe is better than your tribe. Or how do we gain success in the world? Usually it's sometimes you have to trample over people or not think about others and think about yourself. Well, not in the kingdom of God. Not in this redeemed world. One of the first things Jesus says in the Gospel of Mark, in Mark chapter 1, he says, God's kingdom is at hand. God's kingdom is at hand, and we're even supposed to pray, God, would your kingdom come? We're supposed to be inviting this kingdom, which is a new creation, and it's also just this whole new reality and this new set of values. And we can look to Jesus, who lived this perfectly. Who did Jesus spend time with? Usually the sick, maybe the poor, the rejected, maybe even the greatest of sinners. And Jesus, he looks at these people, and this is what he offers. He offers life. He offers his grace. He offers his love to each of us, and he says that there is hope. So really, Ezekiel, it paints this picture that even in the most desolate and dead place, God will bring life. And God, he also looks at us. He looks at our own hearts. And he sees that it, deep down, like we are so connected to death and sin. Really, our hearts are a desolate and dead place. And God looks at you and he makes you new. And he gives you his life. And he even works through us that we then can go out into the world and give life. This is the beautiful redemption that God gives us, our God who brings life out of death, the light in the darkness, the one who has overcome the grave, who has overcome evil. This is the victory of Jesus. So the new creation, right, what Ezekiel's talking about, that's something in the future we look forward to. That's like our great hope. That's what we want. When Jesus is going to return, he's going to bring that with him and he's going to make all things new. But that new creation, we start to share in it here today. When you follow Jesus, you start to share in that life-giving presence here today. And this is our great hope, that he is redeeming all things new. That future age, it's starting to break into our world now. When Jesus, he died and he rose again, it changed everything and it started the inauguration of his kingdom that breaks into the world through us. When you are in Christ, there it is, the new creation. Jesus, he looks at us, even the most tragic and sinful or weak humans, and he turns us into something beautiful. He turns us into even life-giving people. This comes through an encounter with Jesus as his space enters into our space. God, would your kingdom come? So some of you are here today and you're like, yeah, I see that. I see how God could start to bring his redemption in the here and now. I see that even in my own life or the fruit around me. I see that God's kingdom is breaking in here and now. I see how I can start to see a glimpse of living in this beautiful, redemptive world of God. And some of you are here today and you're like, man, Tim's nuts, right? You're like, there's no way. There's no way. This isn't real. And maybe, and I think that can be very valid. Like maybe you're like, I've been on a downward spiral for years. Or my life's been really, really hard. I haven't experienced any type of good redemption. Or maybe you're like, I just haven't experienced the victory of Jesus. And you're struggling in that way. I want to remind us that being in Christ doesn't mean everything is all of a sudden perfect here and now. Being in Christ doesn't mean everything is suddenly going to be perfect in the here and now. Right, if you missed it, you can go listen to my last sermon about how in Jesus we find a co-sufferer. That life is not always going to be easy now. But I invite us, I think it's our role to trust and to give him access. To actually give God access to ourselves. And as we give him access, and he fills us with his presence, it's not full of shame or of condemnation, but really when you give God access to yourself, his presence is full of love and of grace and of mercy. And friends, I think that is what changes us, is that we are so overrun by God's love and by his grace, and it changes everything. As new creations, we are not perfect right now. Not at all. Not at all. In fact, being a new creation, it doesn't mean you're perfect, because you are in the one who is perfect. And that's the point. That you are in the one who is perfect, and he pours out his love and his grace and his fellowship on you, and he makes all things new. I want to read us a quote here today from N.T. Wright. It says this: new creation itself has begun, they are saying, and will be completed. Jesus is ruling over that new creation and making it happen through the witness of his church. We can experience new creation now, not because you try hard to do it. Don't get that out of this message. Not because we try hard to be good people. Not because we try hard to live in this new reality. Not because of anything that we do, but we can live in this new creation with Jesus because of who he is. Because we are living in Christ. It's nothing that we do. We can experience paradise. Literally in the Greek, that word is garden. We can experience that now. Not because we try hard, but because that is found in Jesus himself. The loving and life-giving presence of our God who is with us and who makes all things new. That looks at us and even turns us great sinners holy. That turned death into life. This is our God. So I invite us today to open our eyes. Open our eyes. The presence of God and this new reality is closer than we might think. That he is actually with us and present with us in our worlds and in our lives. So again, I'm not asking us to try really hard to be like these redeemed great people. It won't work. We can't make it on our own. I'm not asking us to try really hard to live in a new reality or act like we do. We can't try really hard. We'll never make it on our own. It is found only in Jesus. And when we are in Christ, he makes all things new. So again, as I close, I invite us to open our eyes to his presence. To open our eyes to his presence and to his new creation as he makes all things new. It's closer than we might think. So I'm going to close off with a word of prayer, and I'll invite our worship team up.